And now the game where we invite experts onto the show to answer questions about things they know nothing about. It's perverse, but we like it. It's called Not My Job. Speaking of experts, the presidential campaign is in full swing, so we thought we'd touch base with somebody who could explain it all for us. Andrea Mitchell of NBC News has covered the White House, has covered presidential campaigns, has been all over the world talking, as she likes to say, to dictators, tyrants, and presidents. She joins us now. Andrea Mitchell, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Well, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So you've covered politics for many, many years. Is this campaign different as it might seem, or is it just another trip down the rabbit hole?
Oh, no, this is different. This is the longest primary campaign, and it's historic. We had a woman who could have been nominated. We've had the first African-American and the oldest candidate. So it's historic on every count.
Right. One of the things we've noticed has become conventional wisdom is that the campaigns and the candidates look to you guys, the press, as potentially part of their constituency. I think McCain called the press once his base. So do they, in fact, try to suck up to you guys?
Not any longer. They think they can go right over our heads, use the internet, get through the blogs,
really?
Get to the public.
So they don't do that anymore? I thought McCain was like throwing you barbecues and stuff.
He did, I believe, have a barbecue for the traveling press corps once, you know, in the past year. But I think that's pretty much gone by the board.
Right. But so you don't sense that they're really trying to win you over into their camp?
Not at all. I think they're just trying to ignore us and pretend we don't exist.
Wow. How will you extract your vengeance?
Well, that's actually not our job.
Really?
No. It's to try to get to the bottom of whatever it is that's going on. Not that we ever can really accomplish that, but it's a challenge every day.
Now, your current job, you're not following either campaign right now.
No, I was in all the primary states. I was following Hillary Clinton for months and months, and that's over.
Really?
Yeah, if you hadn't noticed.
Does Senator Clinton know that?
Yeah. Not clear that her husband does, but I think she does. She definitely knows it's over. So I've been covering the Democrats, and now I'm doing some of the Democrats, some of the Republicans. I'm anchoring a show every day at 1 o'clock on cable on MSNBC.
Wow.
And just getting a taste of everything. It's great.
If you had to choose, which campaign would you rather travel around with?
I think all of them. I think they're all different, exciting. The issues, you know.
McCain seems more unpredictable. You never quite know what he's going to say.
Well, saying that he was going to pack off his closest economic advisor to Belarus, an outlaw state.
Yes. This was, of course, after it was Phil Gramm, former senator of Texas, said that the only problem we have in America is that people are depressed.
He said it was a mental recession.
A mental recession.
A mental recession, that we are a nation of whiners.
Right. And McCain was asked for his reaction, and he promised to make him ambassador to Belarus.
A country that is such an outlaw state, we don't have an ambassador there.
Exactly. And it's still vaguely radioactive, if I'm not mistaken.
More than vaguely. I was there in 1994 with Bill Clinton. We had to wear dosimeters to make sure we weren't taking too much radiation from Chernobyl.
You got to say, it's colorful. I got to ask you about your husband, of course. He's Alan Greenspan, the famous former chairman of the Federal Reserve. Now, we all know him through his public demeanor, which is that he's speaking in testimony in those incredibly complex, undecipherable sentences. So when he first began to woo you, how did you know?
I didn't.
You didn't know?
I didn't get it for a while.
Really? So I imagine you're having dinner with him and he's saying, well, I would say that in the balance of equities between romantic partners...
Well, actually...
No? What? What happened?
We talked about baseball and we talked about music.
Baseball and music. Isn't it true he used to be a musician himself?
He was a jazz musician. He was in a big band, dance band, traveled around the country.
Really?
Really, before he became an economist. He went back to school to become an economist after going to Juilliard and playing music.
Wow. And what did he play?
He played the saxophone, the clarinet, some flute.
Gosh.
Peter, you're also, well, you're skipping over the great part, which is that he happens to be a fabulous kisser.
Roxanne, how do you know?
By all accounts, by everyone at your wedding who saw him double dip you.
Really? So he's a romantic, is that what we...
He's a very romantic soul.
Well, he, of course, retired from a position at the Federal Reserve some years ago. What's it like having him home all the time?
Well, he's not home. He's started a business. He wrote a book. He's traveling. He's having a good time.
Does he ever shout irresponsible things about the economy just because he can?
At the top of his voice.
Yeah. The dollar is tanking. We're doomed.
It must be nice for him to be able to scratch his nose in public without affecting the world market. So.
I think he should turn up on one of those late-night cable commercials about doubling your money. I think that would be a great career.
What a great idea.
One of those investment, you know, he could stand out in front of a picture of somebody's house in Miami and go, you could have this house! He could do Jim Cramer's thing when Jim Cramer's not on the show. He could run around the set and have sound effects and stuff.
What a great idea. A reality television show with Jim Cramer and Alan Greenspan.
No. You and Alan get the reality show.
That would be so exciting, actually. A reality show just based on your marriage, just like the Osbournes.
We have so much in common with the Osbournes.
No, really, but...
He's a musician.
It's true. It would be like the reality show for PBS. Tonight, after the news hour, it's the Mitchell Greenspans. Tonight, Andrea and Alan discuss the World Trade Organization. Tune in! Well, Andrea Mitchell, we're so delighted to have you with us. We've invited you here to play a game we're calling...
Predator, both a wicked, cool action movie and a cradle of greatness.
The 1987 science fiction movie Predator has become a cult hit over the years, not least because two of its stars, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jesse Ventura, have since been elected to statewide office. Is it time for number three? Sonny Landham, who played the spiritual but deadly Indian commando Billy in the movie, recently announced his intentions to run as a libertarian third-party candidate against Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. Answer two of three questions about Mr. Landham's career correctly. You will win our prize, Carl's voice on the home answering machine for one of our listeners. Carl, who is Andrea Mitchell playing for?
Andrea is playing for Maria Fitzsimmons of New York City.
All right, you ready to play?
Absolutely.
All right, I can tell. You sound confident and ready. Here we go. Before Sonny Landham got his big break in Hollywood films, in which he usually played very large, violent people of Indian descent, he made his living as an actor in 1970s erotic entertainment. He played the title role, in fact, in a movie that seems to have been an attempt to create a dirty movie franchise. What was the name of this hopefully legendary character? Was it A, Hammer McThump, B, Big Abner, or C, Randy Chaps?
It must have been Randy Chaps.
You're going to say Randy Chaps? It must have been. No, in fact, it was Big Abner. The movie was a parody of the Little Abner comic strip, of course. Mr. Landham also starred in that period in the movies The Passions of Carol, The Defiance of Good, and, of course, the classic The Love Bus. That's okay. You have two more questions. After being cast in the action movie 48 Hours in the early 80s, he became a successful actor in mainstream movies and TV shows in the 1980s. Including which of these? A, a direct-to-video action film called Kill, Be Killed, or Just Watch the Killing. B, an episode of Miami Vice called Viking Bikers from Hell. Or C, an Italian action movie called, and we translate the title, He Cuts You into Pieces Like You Were a Dried Sausage.
Oh, this is a tough one.
Yes, it is.
Can I hear it in the original Italian?
Sadly, I don't have it handy. I think Soprasada
shows up. I guess
it's the
Miami Vice.
You're going to go Miami Vice, Viking Bikers from Hell? You're right. Very good. His character's name is Toad. We assume he was one of the aforementioned Viking Bikers from Hell. This is so exciting. You've gotten one right with one to go. Get this last one correct. You will win our prize. Of course, this question is about his masterpiece. While on the set of the movie Predator in Mexico, the insurance company for the film insisted that Mr. Landham be provided with a round-the-clock bodyguard. Why? A, he had made some rather impolite comments about Mexicans to the Mexican press and folks were worried about the backlash. B, he was incredibly worried about alien abduction and the insurers were afraid he would freak out and flee the movie without protection Or C, the bodyguard wasn't there to protect him, he was there to protect other people from him.
I think it was A. I think he sounds like the type who would have insulted his Mexican host.
No, he didn't do that. It was actually C. He had acquired a reputation in his career for violent behavior around film sets, and the insurance company wouldn't agree to his casting if he didn't have a babysitter to forestall incidents.
Oh, I'm so sorry for... Is it Mrs. Fitzsimmons?
Hang on a second. Let's find out. Carl, how did Andrea Mitchell do in our quiz?
Well, she needed at least two correct answers to win for Maria Fitzsimmons, but Andrea had just one.
Wow.
I'm so sorry.
But here's the advantage. Here's the advantage. If he is, in fact, elected to the Senate, as he may well be, given this crazy country of ours, then you can go up to him and you can say, Mr. Landham, I admired your work in Big Abner in the 70s.
Because
you'll know that.
If he's as dangerous as you say, I don't think I'm going to go anywhere near him.
Andrea Mitchell is the chief foreign affairs correspondent for NBC News. She is currently covering the 2008 presidential campaign. You can see her pretty much every afternoon on MSNBC at 1 p.m. Eastern. Andrea Mitchell, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey.
Bye-bye.